This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build Forward Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you're on the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. The run came to an end on Saturday night in Indiana. The New York Knicks are eliminated. We turn our focus to the offseason. I know I will not be paying attention to the NBA Finals. I don't care at this point. I care about what the Knicks are going to do the next couple of months. There's going to be talk about Tom Thibodeau. They better keep Tom Thibodeau. There's going to be talk about what Leon Rose does. He's got a huge offseason ahead of him to try to make this team better, to get back to where they were this year and then further. But yeah, this was another brutal watch if you are a Knicks fan. The Pacers look more organized. The Pacers look more energetic. The Knicks look sloppy again and just look like they got run out of the building and ran out of gas. But I still, this was great. This was the first time that we had seen this in 25 years. This is not going to be a straight-up negative, angry morning for me, at the very least. But yeah, it was frustrating going into this series, being a favorite, being up the way they were in Game 1, thinking you had a clear path to the finals, then getting beat by the Pacers. Yeah, that's annoying, but I think when we step back from this in a few days, we're going to realize how special this was, because this doesn't come along a lot for the New York Knicks and their fans. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I will say this for those of us who are Knicks fans, you and I included, we did accomplish something, and I think it's out there for everybody in plain sight to see, and that is we as a fan base are the most hated fan base in any major sport in this country.
I think at this moment.
No, we've overtaken the Eagle fan base. We have. The Eagle fan base was the most hated, and now I think the Knicks fan base is more hated than any other fan base in America. And I have never seen such great joy and vitriol just actually thrown our way as opposed to the players' way. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many people just taking shots at whether it be Ben Stiller or Spike Lee or just a general Knicks fan in what we saw, you know, in the celebrations after beating the Celtics. I don't know if a lot of this stuff is coming from Boston, but I was overwhelmed just reading it on Sunday morning. Just reading everything about how, like, everybody in the NBA universe was so happy the Knicks had lost. So we as a fan base basically accomplished something. So we are officially, in my eyes at least, the most hated fan base in all of professional sports. I can't even think of another one that is remotely close other than the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, I think that once football season starts up again, then the Eagles fans will take their rightful throne. But as we sit here this morning, you're right. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do, I mean, we know the reasons why. The reasons are that the fan base, because it had been down for so long, was celebrating things that other fan bases don't normally celebrate, like second-round series victories in the streets, like they won a championship, and other people look at that and say, that's pathetic. You do stuff like that when you win a championship, not when you win a second round. The fact that you got celebrities everywhere and people can't stand celebrities for whatever reason. They really hate celebrities that aren't rooting for their team. So you've got that. And just the overall disdain for New York that the rest of the country has. It's all wrapped up in that. Yeah.
So, Knick fans, we wake up this morning on a Monday morning. I just wanted to reiterate that we are the biggest or the most hated fan base in all professional sports. And I'm proud to say I'm a part of that. To get to the game on Saturday night, two things really irked me about this particular game, and we talked about it going into the game, and the two things were they have to be careful with the basketball, and they have to hustle back on defense. Mm. And I have to tell you, it's embarrassing watching the turnovers and as many turnovers Jalen Brunson had. You know, look, I love him. He's great. I want him to stay here. He's an awesome basketball player. He's given us something we haven't had in 50 years. So I'm all in on Jalen Brunson. But his performance and his lackadaisical performance, both in 5 and 6, and what I'm talking about is whether it was throwing the ball in bounds or trying to receive an inbounds pass from Mitchell Robinson in Game 5 or just indiscriminately throwing the ball away or dribbling into a double team and losing it that way. You know, that's not winning basketball. That's not championship basketball, especially with the way that they were treating him. So that's one thing. And that also goes along with Carl Anthony Towns. The other thing was not getting back on the breakouts. I mean, how many, like, I know Obi Toppin was a Knick, and I know that they didn't keep him here because they had Julius Randle, who seemed to be ascending to becoming one of the better basketball players in the league. And then they ship off Obi Toppin. But Obi Toppin would have been a great addition to this basketball team on the bench. And I know they were worried about salary structure and, you know, extending Obi and where that money was going to lead and what that was going to keep them from doing. So, Leon Rose, you know, you have to take the good with the bad. But every time I saw him breaking out and dunking the basketball with nobody around him, just told me just how lazy the Knicks were on defense. And then, quite frankly, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. I hope you can help me because, you know, I know you're a purist when it comes to basketball.
I'm a basketball purist. That's what people walk around.
And here's the only reason I'm saying he is soft is because I think he's lazy on defense. And that is Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, just the amount of open threes when he's involved in a pick and roll and the amount of, you know, space, and Van Gundy kept saying it. I mean, like, I don't know how many more times he can say it. Yeah, and I know Knick fans hate hearing that crap, but that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you either get involved on defense or you don't. And at 7 foot, you get your ass and you get your hand up in front of the guy who's shooting a 3-point play. I mean, those are the things that I kind of took out of Game 6 that really, really bothered me.
Yeah.
I don't want to take away from where they ascended to the conference championship because it's something that we haven't seen, and they have gotten progressively better under Leon Rose. And then the other thing I'm finally going to say, and this is about Tom Thibodeau. You know, I played for the Jets for 3 years. I had 3 coaches, 3 offensive systems, 150 players per year felt like were coming through the door. And that's why, you know, for the longest time that I've been sitting here, for 18 years, I preach stability and patience with coaching staffs and coaches. And when you recognize you've got a real one that actually spends time in the office, watches tape, interacts with his team, you know, is never an embarrassment to your organization, is not out playing golf every goddamn day, doing something else that he shouldn't be doing, and is a basketball lifer, you don't let those guys go unless you see something where the players aren't listening. And that is not the case with Tom Thibodeau. So I am a supporter of his. I don't want to hear anybody calling in this morning, get rid of the coach, get this, that. You know, shut up. At the end of the day, the team is stabilized, and that's the most important aspect. And now it's up to Leon Rose to figure out who to keep, who to get rid of, and how to manage his salary cap, because I think like 93 or 94% of the money is tied into the top five players. And that's not going to be easy to move those players, especially if Mikal Bridges is going to want a contract extension with 1 year left on his deal.
All right, so I'm going to tie in a couple of your points in there together, and I'm with you. This is not a Tibbs situation. This is not his fault. He shouldn't pay the price for any of this. But the biggest issue that the Knicks have going forward to get to the next level is the fact that they waited and waited and waited to go all in on a couple of guys, and the biggest one being Karl-Anthony Towns, and they went and they traded for him, and he's making $50 million a year, and at the core, he's a loser. That is their biggest problem. The guy is a loser. He's a losing player. He complains. He is soft. He shows you flashes where he's the best player on the court. Not enough. He doesn't play enough defense. He bitches and moans. He is, up until this point in his career, a loser who is making $50 million, who is going to be a logjam as far as them trying to get to the next level.
His shot selection on Saturday night was insane.
I mean, he is getting to the point now as one of the most frustrating players I have ever watched in the uniform of a team that I root for, because I know how good he can be. And it's just so damn annoying watching him not realize his full potential. I don't know if it'll ever happen. I really don't know. I mean, maybe because there's more eyes on him here as a New York Knick than there ever was in his career, that some of this stuff is going to get to him a little bit more, and he's going to want to put that work in the offseason and fix some of these horrible things that he does on the court and his sloppy bullcrap basketball, and turns into the dominant player that he needs to be. But that is their biggest issue, is the fact that they thought this Towns thing was going to work better than it did, and it hasn't.
Well, I mean, the conference championship. I can't discount.
But you know
where
what
they
I mean.
Got,
they, I understand. I know. We can't just keep going back to that. You know what I mean. We're talking about going forward now. Yes.
And there's,
just
only, like, there's only one guy that you're going to be able to change out with him, and that's going to be Giannis. And that's
I don't even think that's a possibility.
That's what I'm saying. In my mind, as we sit here this morning, I think they're stuck with Karl-Anthony Towns, and he's either got to be better, because they're not going to be able to move him. Everybody's talking about, you know, Giannis is available, he's going to pitch his way out of Milwaukee. I mean, you would have to trade, I don't know, you would have to trade Karl-Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, and probably Deuce McBride, maybe. And then, I don't know, was some draft pick in the future.
I mean, they barely have any picks left Bridges deal. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't necessarily know that can happen. As much as it would be great for it to happen, I don't see it happening. The only other person that, and I don't really want him here, would be Kevin Durant. I don't think that's going to, I don't know what that's going to do, because he doesn't play defense either.
No, he doesn't. And that's a huge issue too. I mean, Jalen Brunson gives you everything every single night, every single minute, and he's not perfect, but you can deal with his lack of defense. I can't deal with Karl-Anthony Towns' lack of defense when he's so inconsistent. And that's really the most frustrating thing. And I don't know if he is capable of being anything other than this. And that is the biggest issue. He's a $50 million player, an all-star, and someone who helped the Knicks get one step forward. But it's not about that anymore. The next step next year is the NBA Finals. And then it's breaking this 50-year championship drought. And he's just not a guy I see in a parade float. I don't think he has it in him. Now, Jalen Brunson does, Josh Hart does, OG Anunoby does, those guys do. But Karl-Anthony Towns is such a huge part of what this team should be, and he doesn't have it. So that's the thing that scares me going forward. And the fact that Brunson and him never were able to really find a partnership together is the entire year. Like, never really were in sync or in concert or whatever you want to say. I mean, that's alarming as well. Now, does an off-season fix that? Does another bunch of regular season games fix that? You know, I'm not sure. I hope.
Well, what you hope is that another year together is going to work out better for them. But I'm telling you, just the maddening, like, turnovers by Jalen Brunson, especially in both Game 5 and Game 6. I mean, those things really frustrated me. I know he's got the ball in his hands 85% of the time, but I also looked like Tibbs decided to have Mikal Bridges bringing the ball up just to get Brunson's a little bit of a break from the 75-foot pressure.
Well, that had a lot to do with it, obviously. Yeah. I mean, they were wearing him down. They had a better plan to deal with the Knicks stars than the Knicks had to deal with their stars. I mean, there was really only one game in which Tyrese Halliburton was completely shut down, and it felt like there was a way to kind of slow him down, but that was really more on him, Halliburton, than it was what the Knicks were doing to him. So, yeah, I mean, I think that Rick Carlisle did a better job than Tibbs coaching in this series, but I still think Tibbs has got to be the coach. He has to remain to be the coach. It's going to be tweaks to the roster. It's going to be getting deeper. It's going to be getting your main guys to be more committed defensively and then just cleaning up some of the sloppy basketball. I mean, and that's a lot of things that I just mentioned there, but we're at a point now where it's just not good enough to be good.
I keep hearing people talking about depth, depth, depth. Well, they do have depth, but the problem is that Tibbs doesn't play that depth. You know, even during the regular season, he doesn't like to play a lot of guys in games. But, you know, there are some young guys in this roster that, you know, deserve an opportunity, I think, just from going through this experience this year. Whether or not they'll play a little bit more next year, you know, only time will tell. Like, we saw what happened with Obi Toppin here. You know, he was a first-round draft pick. You know, they thought that they had something special, a really athletic, you know, high-flying, you know, guy that could, you know, just run with anybody on the basketball court. And we're seeing that flourish in Indiana. I'm not saying that he should have been a starter, but, you know, could you imagine him coming off the bench for the Knicks? And they decided to get nothing for him. They literally got nothing for him.
No, I know. It was something like a second-round pick. But, I mean, he was... This is another one of those conversations where Rick Carlisle and the way that they play basketball in Indiana fit him perfectly.
I understand that. But he wasn't
this player then when they traded him.
I know. So. And you know why? Because he was young. Neither was Porzingis. Porzingis wasn't the player that he turned out to be, but Porzingis ended up, you know, has a history of injuries. And when you draft young guys and you try to develop them, you got to go through like a lot of these, you know, like frustrating moments, and then all of a sudden it clicks and they turn into something. But I'm not saying that they should have kept Obi Toppin now after the fact. I'm saying that when they're making decisions, you know, he is kind of blocked by Julius Randle at the time, because Julius Randle all of a sudden was ascending to becoming a really good basketball player and the face of the Knicks.
Yeah.
So he wanted more playing time, I'm sure, internally, and probably bitching and complaining about it, and probably wanted to go somewhere else. And I have to say to you, I'm happy for that kid, because he was a local kid and he was drafted here and he wanted to be a Knick, and it didn't work out for him. So I'm kind of happy for him. You know, I can't stand Tyrese Halliburton and the rest of these guys.
Sure.
But, you know, for him, I'm happy for, because, you know, when he was here and he got here, I was hoping that he was going to be a part of the turnaround. But unfortunately, you know, he had already left before Jalen Brunson got here.
Yeah, and how about Halliburton thought he was going to get the most valuable player in the series and then didn't, and the camera was on him. That was an embarrassing moment for him. By the way, it was 100% Siakam. They got that right. I mean, the fact that Halliburton thought that he had won that award. Was he watching this series?
I mean, Siakam was in every game, involved in every game, offensively, defensively, and even though he didn't have a great game five, he was more noticeable by far than Halliburton was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. But, yeah, he stepped forward, big smile on his face, and Pascal Siakam, sorry, not you.
You know, it's amazing. You know, OKC traded, I think, Russell Westbrook and Paul George, and they ended up with all these draft picks and everything else, and this guy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, in that trade. And here they are some 4 or 5 years later, and OKC is going to be loaded now for the next 10 years with the amount of assets that they have and the players that they have under contract and the room that they have under this first apron, second apron, third apron.
Couple aprons.
Freaking aprons are.
Aprons all over the place.
You know, and it really sucks that we weren't able to keep Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yes, but the Knicks wanted to. It was just stupid, wacky NBA
rules.
That's
what I'm saying. Like,
that it was not their fault.
Yeah. He would have been the perfect guy.
Yeah, it's just... No, I agree. But that's one I can't blame the Knicks on at all. It's not... They wanted to keep him.
That's the NBA rules.
They would have paid him whatever to keep him. It just was so stupid that the Thunder could pay. It's like, okay, so in some instances, you could pay your own player more to keep him in the NBA. And then other instances, the other team can pay them more, so he goes somewhere else. It makes no sense. But, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I'll be listening to Jerry tell me how the NBA Finals goes, because I am now out. Sorry, don't care. Not going to watch these teams huck up threes. And what I mean, I can't even imagine this is going to be a good series, but whatever. I mean, it's unfortunate, but this
Would
is...
Would you be surprised if OKC swept them?
No. I mean, I think that's sort of the consensus right now, that the Pacers are going to get killed. I don't see that. I think the Pacers are a little bit better than that. I mean, they got really no respect coming into this series. They're getting less respect
because they were playing New York, and the New York fan base, the New York media, us included, I thought that the Knicks were going to win in seven, and I knew it was going to be a tight series. Unfortunately, game one is where the whole thing got blown up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Monday morning. No more Knicks playoff basketball. Yes, it's upsetting, but what a run we had here. And here we're talking to June 2nd, and we're still talking about a Knicks playoff run, which is something that hasn't happened in a very, very long time. Jerry Recco is here. With that and some baseball as well. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning. I'll give you the end of the Knicks before we move into the Yankees and Dodgers and, of course, the Mets and the Rockies. Karl Anthony Towns, I heard you guys talking about this guy. Have to have this and more next year, basically what they did, and then to accomplish the next step.
We got a bunch of great guys in that locker room, and, we hope to the plan now is to just put ourselves in this position again and succeed next time.
I did not.
For him, it's back-to-back conference finals.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's success. I mean, that's not the ultimate success, but still, yet it's success. And both teams, he was a huge part of their success.
Well, he better be. I didn't realize he gets $53, $59, and $61 million the next 3 years.
It's one of the reasons why Minnesota traded him. They, you know, because they're going to have to pay, you know, Anthony Edwards, if they haven't already paid him. I'm not sure.
Understood. Here's, this was interesting. This was Deuce McBride asked about the season.
Is it too soon to kind of put into perspective kind of what this season was? I know you just ended up losing right now. Is it too soon to kind of put that into perspective?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we didn't have any plans, so obviously losing this game, we felt really confident coming in. But overall as a season, yeah, like I said, it felt like a lot of stuff throughout the year just got exposed now.
What does that mean?
My best guess is the fact that there were some little things with this team in the regular season that we talked about a ton that manifested itself in the playoffs in a big way, like transition defense, like the three-point closing out and the three-point defending. I don't know if he's referencing maybe the playing too much in the regular season stuff. That could have been something too. But yeah, I mean, they're not a good defensive team.
I mean, so really, Josh Hart has to come off the bench, Mitchell Robinson has to come off the bench, and Deuce McBride have to come off the bench. So that means they have to find somebody that's going to be the shooting guard, essentially. You know, I mean, or somebody else that's going to be like a four or a three, I guess, in today's NBA parlance, that is going to be another scorer.
Yeah, I mean, I really think what he means is the fact that they've just been bad defensively. What do you think, Jerry?
Because they have been bad defensively, which was not the case last year at all. That's why you guys fell in love with them, and I understand it. They were tough, they were gritty, and they were a defensive team. They kind of flipped their identity to outscore teams, and they couldn't do it in this case, obviously. So I don't know. I don't know if there's something going on where they don't like each other. You listen to them, though. They sound like they are a really good group.
Yeah, they all sound like they care about each other. They like the coach. They like the way they play. And look, you know, the Pacers went one step further this year. The Knicks went one step further this year. The question is when will Jason Tatum come back? I don't think he's going to be out for the entire year. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back after January of next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, because he got his surgery done really quickly. So I don't know where his rehab is at this point. But look, the Cavaliers are going to be good. Pacers are going to be good. The Celtics are going to be good. You would think Detroit's going to be better than they were this year because they'll make some moves. You know, what do the Knicks do to, you know, kind of reinforce what they believe they need?
Yeah, I mean, not everybody gets a cakewalk to the championship series like the Yankees do. You know, there's other leagues where there's good teams that are in those leagues that you have to beat, and the Yankees are lucky that they don't have those teams.
Wow. The Dodgers aren't in the American League.
Yeah, sure. True. Yeah.
Here was one more. Here's Jalen Brunson asking about the coach. This is the one that made headlines yesterday.
Jalen, when you talk about the confidence, obviously, I feel like nobody takes more criticism than Tom. And this team obviously has turned around during his tenure. Do you kind of feel that going forward, he's the same guy to lift you guys the rest of the way, that next level?
Is that a real question right now? You just asked me if I believe that if he's the right guy. Yes.
And with that, he got up and he walked away. And that was that. And that was the end of the press conference. So the season ends Saturday night, but for the Pacers, they go on. They'll play the Thunder, game one of the NBA Finals, Thursday night at 8:30 or thereabouts.
It really was the third quarter in this game.
It was the third quarter.
You know, because they were having trouble coming out of the locker room to start the game.
Yeah.
And they took care of the first, you know, half. They kind of hung tight, and Haliburton was not an issue. It was more Siakam than anybody else.
I really thought that at 58-54 at halftime, I thought they were winning the game.
Yeah.
Absolutely thought they were winning the game Saturday, but they didn't. All right, Yankees-Dodgers last night, Sunday Night Baseball. We know the Dodgers just clobbered them Saturday. They won Friday night as well. The Yankees did salvage Sunday night.
And a pitch from Yamamoto swung on and sent to center field and deep. Going back, Edmund looking at it and say goodbye. Up on the net, into the batter's eye. A two-run homer for Ben Rice, and the Yankees now have a 3-1 lead. Home run number 12, RBIs 24-25.
And that was Dave Sims with the call here on the Fan. Hey now, yeah, 7-3 the final score. Rice the home run, Anthony Volpe singled and scored on a wild pitch. And DJ LeMahieu, 4-for-5 with an RBI single and an RBI double. Here was Rice on his home run.
It felt great. Give us the lead back there and just kind of get the ball rolling a little bit. It felt really good.
And that was Rice on, yes, LeMahieu with Susan. And I'm going to assume this is Dave with the open mic as well, talking about his four-hit game. I only say this because you'll understand why in a moment.
But yeah, it was good to get some results. Good to get some results, drive some runs in, and,
I think it's time to miss another series. That's what I think. He needs to take a couple more games off.
get that thing right, you know?
I don't think so.
Poor Dave's having a hard time.
Ryan Yarbrough, the win, 6 innings, 1-run ball. He is now 3-0, getting the job done.
Yeah, and no, I think we had a really good game plan between the coaching staff, me and Wellesley. So just a matter of execution and, you know, keeping them off balance and not putting them in counts where they can really hunt for certain pitches. So I'd really just try to attack the guys and stay ahead.
And he gets his third win at Yoshinobu Yamamoto. The loss, he doesn't get through the fourth. He gives up 4 runs on 7 hits and 3 walks.
This is why they play the game, Jerry.
Yeah.
Because on paper, you would think.
You would think.
There was no way that the Yankees were going to hit Yamamoto.
That is
true.
The way
that they ended up hitting him.
But they did. They knocked him out early.
And you would have thought that Ryan Yarbrough would have been, you know, shellacked by the Dodgers, who shellacked the
Max Fried.
Yeah, the day before. Max Fried. Of all people.
Yep. Jason Dominguez, an RBI single, but left with a bruised thumb. Yankees home for Cleveland tomorrow. They have a 5.5-game lead now atop the AL East. As for the Dodgers, well, they get the Mets now tonight in Los Angeles. The Mets coming off the weekend sweep over the Rockies.
The 1-2 is hit high in the air to right field and deep. Freeman is back. He's at the wall. Looks up. Gone. Oppo Taco for Pete Alonso. 3-run home run to right field. And in the bottom of the fourth inning, Alonso makes it 3-1.
And they would win 5-3. Keith Rad, Mets Odyssey Radio. Home runs tacked on by Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto. And the Mets complete the weekend sweep of the 9 and now 50 Rockies.
They did what they were supposed to do. In no way am I criticizing the Mets, but it's like impossible to feel good about beating a team that's on pace to be even worse than the Chicago White Sox.
It was a no-win weekend.
Yeah,
well, they had to win all three.
Yeah, they had to win all three, but they've won 7 of their last, of the 9 home games.
First place sold.
Yes, they are.
I mean, it's great. This is not a knock on. It's just
this
hard.
Is what the Phillies were doing 2 weeks ago.
I know, and the Mets got their turn.
They took care of business.
It's just like I am so, and the games are late, so we're not going to see them. But it's like I'm so much more excited to see real competition coming out of this. Because it just feels like this team is, they're not even a team, the Rockies.
Well, the Rockies have the worst pitching in baseball.
It might be the history of baseball. When
they
it's
are
said and
horrific.
Done.
They did beat the Yankees.
That is true. They did win one game against the
that
Yankees.
That one game. Yeah. I think that's their last win.
Yeah.
Right, so the Mets now have 4 in L.A., and then they go to Colorado again. And then after that, I think they have the Nationals and the Rays.
Look at you. Off the top of the head with the schedule. Pretty good.
Now, you want to go to Colorado next week, see the Mets next weekend?
In Colorado?
We'll leave on Friday, come back on Sunday, go to the Saturday night game.
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
What do you think it would take to get him to do that?
A horse tranquilizer?
Like Mr. T in the A-team.
Yeah, basically.
Knock him out, get him on the plane.
Or SEAL Team 6, maybe, I think, to kidnap him and get him out
what
there.
What movie was it where Will Ferrell got shot with the dart?
Old school.
Oh, is that what it was? Old school? You're going to have to shoot him with a dart.
Not happening.
And carry him to the plane.
Here was Pete Alonso getting to Palmquist, the pitcher, in that fourth inning for the home run.
I mean, he had pretty good stuff today. And, I mean, he's got a really funky release. And he was throwing the ball really well. And I'm just really happy that we had some good at-bats to get to him.
That was courtesy of SNY. How about this stat? Goofy, perhaps, but the Mets have won 26 straight games when Lindor homers. This is Carlos Mendoza.
And that's pretty impressive there, you know, but it's baseball, you know. Things like that happen. So.
That is true, but Lindor says, let's not overthink it.
It's not me. He comes in, he had 3-run home run, and I get 1 RBI, 1 home run, 1 RBI, and pitching staff do their thing, defense do their thing, and just at the end of the day, it's an overall win.
It's a win. It's good. And you had Clay Holmes, 7 innings for the win. Edwin Diaz, an easy 9th for the save, struck out the side. And signs of life from Juan Soto over the weekend. Good night Friday, homered Saturday, homered Sunday, so all is good. Mets 7-2 on the homestand. You mentioned one game ahead of the Phillies atop the NL East. They had a horrible weekend as the Brewers just smashed them on Saturday, came back and beat them on Sunday.
The 1-0. Line down the right field line. It's hooking into the corner. It's a fair ball, and that's going to roll forever. Scoring from second, Chorio. Right behind him, Contreras. No relay to the plate. Jake Bowers with a go-ahead. Pinch hit
two-run double.
Jake Bowers, remember him?
Yeah, of course. So he's got pitching problems right now. They got injuries. They got all sorts of things going on right now.
And this Milwaukee team that looks so bad early on, they've now won seven straight. They win 5-2. They complete the sweep. The Mets a game up in the NL East. All right, a couple of other things real quick. You got the Stanley Cup final starting Wednesday between the Oilers and the Panthers. And in golf, Scottie Scheffler won the Memorial. Let's listen to Jack Nicklaus just eviscerate the competition. He was asked the question, and this is great, too, because Scheffler's right next to him. What makes Scheffler such an elite player was the question.
Great players are ones who rise to the occasion and ones who know how to play coming down the stretch with important events.
Okay, fair enough. Then he would look at the leaderboard. This is Jack again.
Looking at the leaderboard today, he didn't have... I mean, Ben Griffin's a nice player. Sepp Straka is a nice player. Nick Taylor's a nice player. Those are all the guys that were there basically coming down the stretch. But he knows that those guys, you know, are not in his league.
he's a shot at Rory or no?
No. He's basically saying in this last clip that he doesn't feel threatened by them.
Now, if he'd had... I don't know who else it might have been, but somebody else at the top, or Xander or somebody like that would have been there. He might have said, well, that might be a little tougher. I might have to do something. He didn't have to.
Yeah, Jack's becoming that age where he does not care what he says. Because he said several things this weekend. Like, if you would have interviewed me on the course back in the day, I would have punched the reporter in the face. Then he just went off here. I mean, I love it. That he's completely honest, but he's right about it. And I do think there's a little bit,
100%.
A little bit of the Rory thing there, too. I do think so.
But also the live stuff.
Well, yeah, that too. Yep.
You know, those guys aren't here either.
Yeah.
And so while other guys like, Ben Griffin, who, you know, has played well now back-to-back weeks, and all these other young guys, you know, they have a chance to do something and make a lot of money if they just can get their acts together.
Well, and that's the money thing, too. Who cares what the competition is? Scottie Scheffler gets a $4 million check. Did you see Jordan Spieth almost kill the person?
Yes. I don't know how those guys moved.
Wow.
It was more than just a person. It was like there was like 15 people that all had to duck at the same time.
The ball came right at them.
I mean, yeah. And the one guy in the yellow was the one that was going right for his head. And
my God.
And
so
then
you wear a yellow shirt. I'm telling you, this is what happens.
Yeah, that was really scary. And then Ben Griffin hit a guy in the back off the tee on like 17, I think. And then the guy took his shirt off to show his muscles, and then they both on his back on TV.
Wild.
Yeah, it was.
And I didn't see Al mention the piece of concrete that fell at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah,
and hit the guy in the back too. So
yeah, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Not good.
I mean, where's D'Agostino when you need him? Huh?
Law bite back.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Knicks eliminated. If you want to talk about it, 888-808-1019. The Pat McAfee, John Mellencamp thing got a little nasty there, man. Wow. McAfee did not hold back.
I mean, it's a little shocking to me. I don't know about Indiana people and what their issues are out there. You know, we have a hard enough time keeping up with what's going on here. But you would think John Mellencamp is like a legendary figure in Indiana.
He is.
And you would have some respect towards him and the way he feels about, I guess, other celebrities that showed up, including Timothée Chalamet and, of course, Ben Stiller and Spike Lee. I mean, I understand exactly what John Mellencamp is doing, but I don't for the life of me see why Pat McAfee would just attack back to him.
Yeah, so the social media post was from McAfee, John, shut the F up, okay? And then he also said, hey, Coog, suck it, buddy.
So there must be something. I don't know if there's something else going on or something that I don't know about, but just seems to be just taking a shot at an older guy who at one point in time was at the top of every freaking musical chart in this country.
And we got some McAfee audio on this as well. Let's take a listen to that.
And he puts out this horrendous quote tweet. I mean, it is horrendous graphic. John, can't tell you how bad everything you did here was. Everything. The graphic, the quote, the timing. You're 2 days late, John. You're 2 days late, bub. Puts this thing out there. Doesn't even say my name.
No.
John, shut the f*** up.
Jesus.
All right, so on one hand, I completely appreciate the entertainment value here with Pat McAfee, but I wonder, is he really upset? Like, if he's doing this as one of his wrestling bits and like, hey, this is a thing that will get people talking and it's a layup for me, then I'm like, okay, fine. But if he's like really upset that John Mellencamp came after him to the point where he's now saying, hey, Coog, suck it, buddy. I mean, that's a little strange. So I don't know which McAfee we're getting. Are we getting like sensitive McAfee or are we getting wrestling McAfee?
You trying to think you were going to bury me? I don't think so, John. Hey, Coog, suck it, buddy. hope I get a chance to see you real soon. I think we're probably going to be at the same place pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want any of your bull, okay? I don't like you. I know your name, and I don't like you.
Wow.
Wow. I wonder if there's something else going on out there. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know why. The vitriol towards a guy who, I don't know, from my perspective, like I said, at one point in time, this is like one of the great singers of his era.
Yeah. I mean, and
songwriters, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know.
It's a weird deal.
Going back to the original Mellencamp criticism, I mean, it wasn't as if he was really personally attacking Pat McAfee. He didn't even say his name in there, which I guess pissed off Pat even more, but I mean, this was like a little punch to the gut followed up by a bazooka to the face, you know? I mean, this was amazing. Hey, Coog, suck it, buddy.
Wow. I don't know. Maybe that's just the new way of doing things, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, this.
Get your point across.
This is why I don't know. I'm like, yes, get your point across. And McAfee comes from that world, that like wrestling world. So he may be looking like, oh, this is a great opportunity to entertain. But it also sounded like he was a little bit pissed off.
I'm assuming that John Mellencamp would have a lot of fans in the Indiana area.
So does Pat McAfee. I mean, I think it's a generational thing, you know.
But so one generation, you know, I guess one generation say, hey, can we act with a little bit of class?
Yeah.
And can we show a little bit of respect to people's, you know, I guess their own careers and they're supporting their team? Who cares? And then, of course, as I think this comes on the heels of Ben Stiller saying, you know, if you came to a Knick game, you're not going to get booed. I guess now he would.
Yeah.
Pat McAfee would. But I think prior to all of this and the wrestling imitation leading up to game four, I guess it was game four, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think that.
Or game three, I think.
Game three, okay.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff doesn't go on at Madison Square Garden.
No, it doesn't. I mean, there's different. I mean, but this is exactly what the first thing you said this morning is exactly what this was born out of, is the fact that Pat McAfee understands that the Knicks, their fans and their celebrity fans are hated.
Yes.
And he was pandering to that whole thing. And like that was what, like, he's like, hey, there's more people who are agreeing with me on this, and like screw Ben Stiller and screw Timothy Chalamet and these big New York, Big Apple celebrity superstars. You know, we're the Hoosier State. You know, we're the blue collar basketball people, and screw them.
And we're supposed to have Midwest values, by the way. And I guess we don't have anymore. And forget those, whatever those used to be.
Yeah,
but I will say this. That, you know, my thing about the celebrities is that when all those celebrities are at the games at the Garden, the other team comes in and wants to go off.
I agree.
I mean, like, they get it. There's an incentive to playing well at Madison Square Garden for a lot of reasons. Part of it is the celebrity attendance, without question. The other part of it is because people here in New York have named it the Mecca of basketball, where there's only been two championships won. You know what I'm saying? So the vitriol that comes from other fan bases, I totally understand. And that's why I said this morning what I did, you know, when we came in here, I said, yeah, we're the most hated fan base by far because of our actions and the way that we go about things when we celebrate when we win.
Yeah, I mean, and so the Lakers have always had the history of having the celebrities there watching the games, but they've won so many championships that it's like, okay, you know, it's the Lakers, it's the scene, it's L.A. But when it's the Knicks, and we haven't done anything for so long, and you get all these celebrities, and everybody's like, oh, the Knicks, and they're celebrating in the streets, it pisses everybody else off. Now, I don't care that it pisses everybody else off, because I'm not letting them ruin this, because it doesn't happen a lot.
Yes.
I mean, it's been 25 friggin' years since we've seen this, so I don't care. Celebrate in the streets, have a great time. Like, and if it pisses you off, well, too bad. I don't care. And hopefully next year will piss you off even more by winning a championship.
So maybe it's more political than it is personal. Let's go to Bobby in Indiana. Bobby would have a good understanding of this whole thing. Bobby, what's happening?
Hey, I just want to tell you that I saw this action here between you guys talking about McAfee and Mellencamp. A lot of people in Indiana think Mellencamp's a real jerk. They really do. He's kind of a liberal guy for the state of Indiana. And
so he's your Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen fall into that same category in Indiana as well. So that's kind of my take on it. It irks me a little bit, too. You know, I see the Pacers play here in Indiana, and I look down. Spike Lee's got a front row seat. Ben Stiller's got a front row seat. You know, I don't know why they get front row seats and they're not Pacer fans and not season ticket holders. So,
they've got the money to pay for it.
Yeah, they probably paid quite a pretty penny for those seats from Pacer fans who actually own those seats.
Right, and it kind of irks the general admission fan that comes in there and gets in the upper low seats and would love to get a seat down low and see those guys down there too.
You should see how the Knick fans feel here.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, Bob. I mean, there's so many regular Knicks fans that can't even go to a regular season game at the Garden because the prices have gotten so crazy. But maybe this is another thing, like just like McAfee was playing into the hate of the Knicks fans and the Knicks celebrities, maybe he knows something about how Indiana doesn't like John Mellencamp, so he's deciding.
Well, that's the point. So, yeah. So it sounds like it's got the political twang to it or tinge to it or whatever you want to call.
I do like the phrase, hey, Coug, suck it, buddy. I do think that's funny. I got to give him credit for that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want.
You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.